Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcasts, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
Excuse me while I hide from my child and eat chocolate. Actually, she's asleep right now, and I'm grateful because she was an absolute terrorist at Mass today. She literally would just squawk for no reason. I want to be picked up. Squawk. Open the diaper bag so I can play. She only squawks this loud like this. Well, she does squawk occasionally like this, but she tends to have that be her primary means of communication only when we are at Mass. I am so grateful for the opportunity to learn patience from my child. Today on Trending, we're going to be joined in just a little bit by Devin Schaap from the Fathers of St. Joseph, and we're going to talk about what being a Catholic dad looks like, as well as what it means to be a father of St. Joseph. We're also going to unpack a very important question that I would love to hear your thoughts on. Have you ever heard of failure to launch syndrome? And just to be clear, I'm talking about the phenomena of refusing to become independent and self-sufficient. Do you think this has significantly impacted men today? And did this impact you? Why or why not? I would love to hear from you. It's our Gentleman's Hour here on Trending today. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Or you can always comment on my Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. Again, how do you think this has impacted men today? And did this impact you? Why or why not? Failure to launch syndrome, a phenomena of refusing to become independent and self-sufficient. We're also going to talk about abortion's impact on men, as well as future and hope after having been through an abortion with a woman. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri here on Relevant Radio. It's our Gentleman's Hour, and as always, any question goes, questions that maybe you felt uncomfortable asking your mom or sister, we'd be happy to take them. Okay, I posted this on my Instagram story, and it is an incredible testimony to fatherhood. The title of it says, "I thought my dad would be mad I was pregnant." And then it's this Instagram reel of this teenage girl's father changing baby's diapers, filing down baby's nails, snuggling with this little nugget of joy. And it was such a testament to the fact that when men are given the opportunity, good men rise to the occasion. With tenderness, love, generosity, and protection. This is what we want as a society for women. This is what we want for a society of women who even find themselves in less than ideal circumstances. Unplanned pregnancies. In the midst of mistakes. That the men in our society will uphold us as women. Uphold us with a great accountability, but unwavering love. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri. To discuss fatherhood today on Trending is Devin Schaap. He's a co-founder of the Fathers of St. Joseph, and he's also the author of a number of books, including one book we've discussed here on Trending. I highly recommend it, Why We Do What We Do. We'll actually include a link in the podcast notes to today's show when we talked about that book, because it was fascinating and really touches on the idea of happiness. Devin, welcome back to Trending. What does it mean to be a Catholic dad today?
Hey, Timmeri, thanks for having me on your show. Well, it's a great question. I think where we can begin is with John Paul II in Familiaris Consortio. He says that the mission of the human father is to reveal and relive God's fatherhood. That's just a huge mission statement right there. So basically what John Paul II is saying is that the human father is endowed with the mission to be an icon, a living, breathing, human symbol a grace, an efficacious symbol of God the Father to his children, to not only his children, to his wife, and not only to his own family, but to the church. This is his responsibility. So I think that's where we can begin. That's the baseline right there. And we see that in the scripture in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. God reveals his game plan in the Old Testament. He says, before that great and terrible day, before I would come and smite the land with a curse, fathers will turn their hearts to their children so that children will turn their hearts to their fathers. And what's God getting at there? He's saying that if fathers really turn their hearts, their gaze of love and attention and fidelity and generosity toward their children will not only turn in trust to their earthly human father, but they will trust God the Father. And that is the basis of sonship. That's the basis of everything. And I think right now, that's our biggest problem, is that the world does not trust God. And you can see it in all the disorders that are out there.
Oh, absolutely. Devin, it's a crisis of fatherhood that we see today. And many people may be listening now and they say, okay, that's a great ideal. I hear what you're saying, but I didn't have a father, or my father was absent, or he was a bad dad. So how can I even ponder being a good dad, or how do I make up for all that was missing from my own upbringing? What would you say to a father who finds himself in that position and now here he is wanting to live his Catholic faith and see how this intersects with his fatherhood?
Well, first of all, I would say break the chain. And I would also say that you are not defined by someone else's mistakes. Mm. That if God's Holy Spirit is living in you through baptism, God can do far more in you than you can hope for or imagine, as St. Paul says in Ephesians. And he can accomplish all things in you. For nothing, as Jesus says, is impossible with God. So I believe, and I see this all the time, there are many men who are broken. They've had broken childhoods. They've had a tremendous father wounds. Most of us have father wounds. Most of us have deep-seated father wounds one way or another. But it's because we've felt those wounds, because we've experienced the pain from them, that we can rise from the ashes of that pain and say, I am not going to inflict this on my children. I'm not going to inflict this pain on my wife. I am going to make sure that I reforge a new chain, a chain of love that links my family to God. So I think all things are possible in Christ, and you're not bound by your past or by someone else's sin. That would be the first thing. But then you need a game plan. And I think that you got to understand your purpose. You got to have a plan to fulfill that purpose. And you got to practice that plan every day. And that's what the Father St. Joseph is all about, is helping men live that plan every day so they can unlock the power of God in their lives.
I love where you emphasize how important it is to have a purpose, that fatherhood is purposeful. You shouldn't just fall into it. Our culture tends to fall into fatherhood today, especially in light of the contraceptive and pro-abortion culture that we live in. And so fatherhood tends to be a shock if unplanned, or even still a shock because we tend to think that we can control everything when it comes to being parents. And so, you know, when we talk about that, many people find themselves, okay, here I am, and they just start diving in. And years in, they start realizing, well, I want to be a better dad, or I want to do things like this. I want to change things up. How can we begin, or can fathers begin to be purposeful from the beginning? And what would be maybe those few things that you'd recommend to start redirecting a father's gaze toward?
Yeah, great question. I mean, boy, we could talk about that for hours. But I think that you're right. Men are falling into fatherhood, through teenage pregnancies and things like that, and premarital sex and so much. But fatherhood is not so much a biological reality as much as it's a spiritual reality. You know, it takes any man, in a sense, can be a biological dad, but it takes a real man to be a spiritual father. And so if we were to reduce it to one thing, if we're just going to strictly talk about fatherhood per se, and one thing that every man can do right now to change his life, to change his marriage, to change his children's life, it would be this principle. Stop just accepting your children, but begin to choose them. And what I mean by that is, like, imagine you got to heaven and Jesus is showing you around and he's saying, hey, welcome to heaven. You know, this is my place, is yours. The remote for, you know, Netflix is on the table. There's beer in the fridge, you know, food in the cupboards, and your bedroom's at the end of the golden hallway. The pillows are like clouds, because they are clouds. But by the way, James, Peter, John, and I, we're going to go to the local tavern, and don't wait up late for us. You'd be like, well, wait a minute. I want to be chosen. I want to come along with you. I just don't want to be accepted in heaven. And I think a lot of our kids, a lot of us just exist in our homes. You know, we see our kids, they run off to school, they go to soccer practice. We maybe say two words to them throughout the day. Hey, did you take out the trash? How's that math, you know, class going, whatever, but we don't actually intentionally choose them. And what I mean by intentionally choosing them is like, I'm making eye contact with my daughter. I'm going to have a conversation with her intentionally. I'm going to carve out space to take her out on a date, or I'm going to take my son out in the yard and we're going to build a retaining wall together. You know, we're going to go camping together. And it can be simple stuff. We're going to eat breakfast together. We're all going to eat dinner together. But regardless, I become the voice of the Heavenly Father that my children cannot hear, the face of the Father that my children cannot see, and the touch of the Father that my children cannot feel. And if I fulfilled those three tasks, meanwhile, I'm actually leading them spiritually, praying with them, and I'm introducing them to Jesus Christ, you've got a home run there. And I'm not saying it's perfect, it's bulletproof, but what I am saying is you greatly increase your odds for your children to be virtuous, to be heroic, to assume sacrificial responsibility, and to get to heaven.
Amen. Amen. That's a Devin Shat here on Trending with Timmery during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. If you have a question, the number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can also reach out on Instagram to ask your question at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You know, I keep thinking about this challenge today surrounding fatherhood, and many men have this attitude when it comes to fatherhood. Well, I want to be a Catholic dad, but maybe you think that there's just one way to do it. The reality is God gives each and every single one of us various talents, gifts, temperaments, different income levels, different types of jobs, different types of spouses with other types of gifts and talents. And all of this comes back to remind us that we are called to holiness. We are called to bring our children to holiness, but that doesn't mean that it looks exactly like James, who is a great Catholic father in this way. There may be attributes and elements that you share, especially in being purposeful and bringing your children to heaven. But I think it's important you can't try to put this entirely into a box when you talk about fatherhood. And so this is what I think is so important when we talk about being a Catholic father today. So Devin Shat is here with us. Devin, let's talk about maybe fear of failure a little bit more. How can maybe some key tips for almost that Catholic dad handbook help men in overcoming that fear of failing as a father?
Okay, well, first of all, we just have to recognize that we all fail. I think it was Winston Churchill who said that success is going from one failure to another with great enthusiasm. And so if we can kind of realize that it's from our failures that we can actually learn the secrets to anything. And some of the most successful people in this world are those who failed numerous, numerous times. You know, hear about these actors who they couldn't get a gig. And finally, it was like after like 78 auditions, then they became a star. Same with, you know, people who publish books, you know, their book is rejected, 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 and then finally becomes a bestseller, you know, and this happens all the time. And so I think that first we have to embrace the idea that failure is a reality, but it doesn't define us. And in fact, it can define us if we don't learn from it. But I think that more importantly, the key attribute here is forgiveness, mercy. You know, I mean, when Jesus talks about his father, he gives us examples such as the prodigal son, you know, and the prodigal father. And at the heart of that, or what father would give his son a stone when he asks for bread? So God is extremely, the Father is extremely generous, is extremely forgiving. He wants to share his glory. And when we miss the mark, he doesn't just pound on us and punish us, but he's like, hey, I'm going to forgive you if you just turn to me, and I will train you through this failure to become the father that you're destined to be. So I think we got to be patient with ourselves. What happens oftentimes with failure is that we grow impatient, and impatience, as one friend of mine says, he says it's having unrealistic expectations of yourself. And so we need to have realistic expectations. I'm not going to be a saintly father anytime soon. It's a long haul. Like anything, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of investment. It is possible, but it's not going to happen right away. So I need to be invested and I need to embrace the failure. But at the heart of it all, I need to forgive. I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness and allow myself to be forgiven. And even, this isn't Oprah stuff, but forgive myself. And then also be willing to forgive my children and ask my children to forgive me. And I think this is very powerful. When I talk to dads who've actually asked their children to forgive them, their children at some point say, that was the biggest moment in my life, or one of the biggest moments in my life. In fact, you never looked bigger or greater is when you admitted your fault and asked me for forgiveness. And so it's never too late for a dad to actually be that prodigal father who actually is waiting for his child on the looking out on the horizon, waiting for his child to come home, but instead he runs out to them. And in our case, we ask for forgiveness.
Right. You know, this is, I think, so profound, because so many people walk around today with wounds from their parents. And so as Catholic dads, to admit humbly, you know, the things that have gone wrong, for some, this could be incredibly healing for their kids, of letting go of harbored resentment and anger and rancor that's been building up for years, or could otherwise build up for years moving forward. You know, there's this trend today, Devin, of adult children going no contact with their parents. And in some instances, this is very legitimate. For legitimate reasons, there were extremely unhealthy relationships that people should not be exposed to. But in a vast majority of these relationships, it's also kind of this attitude of just blaming your parents for everything, yet in reality, you're an adult. And so what parents can do, whether your children are teenagers, toddlers, or adults, you can still have this level of humility, forgiveness, patience, honesty, integrity that can go a long ways no matter what stage of fatherhood you're in.
Absolutely. I mean, let's face it, we're just kids raising kids. You know, we're children raising children. We're,
I hear you.
We're not,
I'm eating chocolate hiding from my kid right now. Oh, she's asleep. I'm recovering.
But if we get that, then we will be more patient with ourselves and more patient with our children. I think there's, like, I call it the law of gradualness. I see this in, like, really hyper focused parents who want their kids to be saints. You know, they're like, at the age of 40 or at the age of 30, these parents, they've, you know, the little amount of grace and redemption that they've eked out over those 30, 40, 50 years, they look at their young little children through that lens and think, my children should be operating at my level or even greater already. And it puts massive pressure on these kids. Yeah. We should treat them somewhat like an adult, but not put the pressure on them to, because we had to go through the massive journey of licking our wounds and figuring out what sin was and why sin hurts and wounds us and why we actually need a savior and to be redeemed and why Jesus's sacrifice is so important. I mean, you can't expect a six-year-old to get that, you know, all of that. He can get pieces of that, but it takes time. And so there's a law of gradualness, and then we need to have the law of attraction. We need to make our relationship with our children attractive. One dad friend of mine, he would come home from work sometimes on Fridays usually, and he'd have his pockets full of candy bars. And he'd just, the kids would just, his sons would just dig in through his coat pockets. And it taught them as they got older that their dad is inherently generous. And where that helps is, so then when dad is also a disciplinarian, they're more accepting of that because they know they've got dad's love. So they're not afraid when dad disciplines them that, oh my gosh, my dad hates me and this is the end of the world. No, they see it as, my dad wants me to be perfected. And that's what God wants for us.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. You're joining us during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. Any question goes. Questions perhaps you feel uncomfortable asking your mom or your sister, we'd love to take them. 1-888-914-9149. You can also ask now on Instagram. I'll be back with Devin Schatt. We're going to talk about, what does it mean to be a father of Saint Joseph? Also, have you heard of failure to launch syndrome? This delay especially occurring in young men today, in terms of standing on their own two feet, to being independent. We're going to talk about that, and I'd love to hear from you. Did you perhaps experience this? Why or why not? What led you into a mature adulthood and fatherhood today? Today's show is sponsored by Colby Academy. With more than 40 years of experience in Catholic home education, Colby Academy offers a blend of classical Catholic curriculum and the latest educational technology. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Gentleman's Hour here on Trending with Timory. Any question goes. Questions you feel uncomfortable asking your mom, your sister. Also, Devin Schatt is joining us now, and he is the co-founder of Fathers of St. Joseph. You can find that work at fathersofstjoseph.org. We'll include a link in the podcast notes for today's show, relevantradio.com/trending, to subscribe and catch those notes. We'll also include a link to some of his books as well, including Why We Do What We Do. Fantastic book. We've talked about it here on Trending in relation to our happiness hour. But right now I want to dive into the topic of what does it mean to be a Catholic father, but specifically your work, A Father of St. Joseph. Can you explain this for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2012, we founded the Fathers of St. Joseph, and basically it's an apostolate that works and labors for the restoration, redemption, revitalization of fatherhood. So what do? We basically empower men to live out what we believe is a spirituality. So you look at like the Dominicans, the Carmelites, the Norbertines, they all have a rule of life, a way of life. Well, I believe, and this has just been my experience, that the human father, he has a spirituality, and it's based on St. Joseph and his life, and it's comprised of his four pillars: embracing silence, embracing woman, embracing the child, and embracing his charitable authority. And so by living this spirituality of St. Joseph, we begin to be a father of St. Joseph. We begin to be like him, who is an icon of God the Father to Jesus. And he, like Pope John Paul II said, I mentioned earlier, St. Joseph revealed and relived God's fatherhood to Jesus and, in a sense, to Mary. And so one thing that we do to help guys to just get on the track with this is we have this free resource called The Path. And it's this little PDF booklet. We also sell it in hard copy form, but it outlines the one path, the four pillars, the seven principles, and the 33 practices that, in a sense, constitute this spirituality that give guys a real game plan to live out on a daily, weekly basis that ends up taking, in a sense, on, they take on for the rest of their life. And it's basically a roadmap that's very simple, very easy, not heady or theological. And we move these in the hundreds and if not the thousands sometimes, which is amazing because it just gives guys the nuts and the bolts of what they need to live out the spirituality of St. Joseph.
I'd love to share a link to that on social media. It's available at fathersofstjoseph.org, but we'll include it in the show notes as well, because, you know, so many men say, I want a handbook. I know that you can't just learn fatherhood by reading something, but it's a start because it leads you through a meditation. It leads you through pondering fatherhood. Something I really admire about my husband is when he starts talking about St. Joseph, I can tell he ponders the life of St. Joseph throughout his day. Because this pondering, this meditation informs how he interacts with me, how he interacts with our child. I want to come back to these four pillars that you mentioned. You said embracing silence, woman, and then you said two others. Can you share these four and explain them and how these were the pillar of St. Joseph's fatherhood?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first pillar is embracing silence. And if you notice that Joseph, he didn't speak a word in the scriptures that's recorded, but yet his silence speaks profoundly of the greatness of God's fatherhood lived through his life, but also it testifies to something that a father doesn't have to be loud and proud to change the world. And you look at St. Joseph, the first thing he did when he discovered Mary pregnant without his cooperation is that he withdrew into the silence and he presented his passions and his pain and his trial, all that to the Lord, not even a word of prayer is recorded. Yet we know in the silence there, he is working it out with God the Father. In fact, the Greek word there is enthymeome, which is like where we get the Greek word thumos is part of that, but it's a passionate grieving that St. Joseph was going through. That's what enthymeome means. It's like this battle, but he battled in the silence, and it was there that God spoke to him his identity and his mission. Joseph, son of David, you're a son of David, you're a son of mine. Now go act like it and take the Blessed Virgin Mary, your wife, into your home. Live that mission to be the father to son. So out of silence, Joseph discovers his identity, He discovers his mission, and that's what happens in prayer for all of us. So as men, we need to have a daily prayer life, and we outline that in the path. But also, there's another aspect of silence, and that's secrecy. And what I mean by that is that we don't try to get on stage. We don't try to be in the spotlight. If that happens, fine. That's just a byproduct. That's what God wants. But our motivation is to do everything in a very hidden, secret way, like the servants of the wedding at Cana. They fill the water into the jars, and the chief steward didn't know from whence the wine came. You know, and that's the way we are to give our secret sacrificial works to God without being boasting on one hand, or boastful, or on the other hand, complaining. So you got silence, embracing silence, but then you got embracing woman. And this is what Joseph did. Out of the silence came his mission to embrace the Blessed Virgin Mary. He took Mary into his home. And this is his first step, if you will, which inaugurated his call to fatherly greatness. He literally entrusted himself to the Blessed Mother and to her care. And so that's the first step of embracing woman, is that we as men, we need to entrust ourselves to the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph did. But it also means to defeat lust in the heart. Joseph was most chaste spouse. He overcame lust, you know, in the heart in order to love Mary in an altruistic way. And we see this in many of the writings in the church talking about their Mary and Joseph's union of wills, this chaste union, the celibate union between the two of them, which literally drew down the Word made flesh. So Joseph defeated lust in the heart. He embraced Mary, and he upheld the dignity of woman. He protected her at all cost, even if it meant it cost himself, which we know with Joseph it did. It cost him his, you know, he lived a celibate life within the context of marriage, which had to be at times very, very full of suffering. And yet he did that heroically. He was very chaste. Now we've got the other two, which is embrace the child. So out of his relationship with woman, out of his relationship with Mary and his devotion to her, Joseph becomes the one who's fathering Jesus Christ in the image of God the Father. And this relationship with Jesus and Joseph is so important. Because it's in that workshop in Nazareth where Joseph and Jesus craft the cross of self-sacrificial love. Joseph is training Jesus for his crucifixion. Jesus is training Joseph to be able to let him go. And the two are preparing the way for our salvation in that little workshop in Nazareth. You know,
you're reminding me of a beautiful image at the cathedral we have here. And it's a stained glass window where there Jesus as a little boy is helping St. Joseph in his work. And he's carrying, with, you know, a little worker's apron on, he's carrying a cross on his back. And it's so morbid because you see this little boy, Jesus, helping his dad. But yet here's the prophecy. Here's the future of Christ. And so what you said, I think just bringing that image to it, that's what St. Joseph was preparing Christ for in his humanity.
Yeah. I mean, they went up to the temple, you know, and when Jesus was 12 years old, it's almost like, you know, you would carry the lamb on your back. And Jesus was just breaking into adulthood. And I can just see St. Joseph laying that lamb on his back. And Jesus is kind of like looking at this lamb and realizing that he's really the Lamb of God. But Joseph is teaching him and preparing him for sacrifice. Okay, you're going to fulfill the law, son. I'm going to raise you up in this faith, this religion. But he and Joseph know that Jesus is going to be the fulfillment of all of that. And so it's like Abraham and Isaac going up Moriah, you know, except this time Jesus will go alone and unfettered, you know, unrestrained in the end. But Joseph is preparing him for that with Mary. So Joseph becomes the face and the voice and the touch of God the Father to Jesus. He's his protector. He's his provider. He's the priest of the family. And that's so important. Countless times Joseph blessed Jesus, because that's what every father did preceding the Sabbath. He blessed his child. And so that's what we need to do as men. We need to bless our children. And talk about getting over the fear factor. Get over the awkwardness of starting to bless your children and bless your wife. But I tell you what, the consequences of that and the intimacy are off the charts.
And but for those who don't know what you mean by that, really quick, literally blessing them either with holy water or just marking the sign of the cross over their heads. And just to say to any fathers out there, oh, that sounds so awkward, you know, going and blessing my wife out of nowhere. You know, she's going to think I'm such a hypocrite, or it's just going to be such a weird movement. As women, we appreciate when you protect us, whether it's physical or spiritual. And so I cannot imagine that this would be received negatively, even in the midst of challenging circumstances. Yes, your actions should match it. Yes, you should be, you know, acting in a way that says you're following God, but it can do no harm. And so I just want to encourage men, like, don't be afraid to do that.
No, you have the authority to do that. I mean, and this is what we've forgotten as men is, and that's the last pillar actually, is to embrace your charitable authority, your loving authority, to lead by loving and love by leading, you know, the sacrificial responsibility to be the protector, the provider, and the priest. But the key with that blessing is I love it because it holds me accountable. You know what I mean? I mean, I got to bless my wife at the end of the night. I got to bless my children at the end of the night. And if I'm acting like a jerk all day long, well, I'm still going to bless them, but it holds me accountable. But I tell you what, it's so beautiful because in that moment, I become the voice and the face and the touch of God the Father simultaneously. And for me, I trace the sign of the cross over my children, over their forehead, over my wife, and I call down God's blessing. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, I call down God's favor, His blessing, and protection from all evil, and et cetera, in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, there are times where I know it's very real. But my kids long for it now. Every night, hey, Papa, will you bless me? You know, and even my wife. But this idea of charitable authority, as St. Augustine said in a homily to the men in his congregation, he said, fathers, fulfill my office in your home. In his office as bishop, he was talking about. And so every man is called to be the bishop of his home. And what is a bishop? He's an overseer. He's the one who's making sure, if you will, that the family's connected to God. He's a priest. And we've lost touch with this because in the Old Testament, every dad of his household was a priest. And what does a priest do? A priest offers sacrifice. And what does the human father offer as sacrifice? Himself. And he does this by simply initiating self-giving love in his own home. He takes that first step. Like in dancing, you know, a man takes the first step. It doesn't mean he's a better dancer. It doesn't mean he's knows more about dancing. He takes that first step. And when we men, we start taking that first step, like, okay, there's a honey-do list. I'm going to do this without my wife asking, you know, or I'm going to start unloading the dishwasher. I'm going to participate and clean up the kitchen, et cetera. So I'm going to get the kids ready for school and she can sleep in. Whatever it is where we take that first step, she sees that initiative. She sees that, in a sense, altruistic love, and she wants to respond and reciprocate. And pretty soon you have the Trinitarian dance of love in your family and the kids get in on it. And pretty soon you have a family that's arguing about, no, I'll change a diaper, or no, I'll unload the dishwasher, or no, I'll take out the shirt. You know, they're arguing to do it rather than not to do it because they want to love.
And I keep thinking about blessing, you know, your spouse or your children at the end of the day. You talked about how even if you had a bad day, even if you've been terrible that day, it's almost a moment of conviction where you're saying, I love you, I'm sorry, and God bless you. That is kind of really reemphasizing in the face of everything. We are called to such a profound level of humility because at the end of the day, He's in control. He provides. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who gives us life. And that's so powerful and I think empowering for fathers to know that this simple act of blessing your family at the end of the day is a reminder to put you back into check in terms of your position and role within the context of the family.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've had to, before I bless my children or my wife, I have to ask for forgiveness, you know, for being the grump of the day or the grump of the year or whatever, or blowing up over something very insignificant or stupid or whatever it is. But it really is an accountability. And it's so beautiful because they're so accepting of asking for forgiveness. They want to forgive me. They want that relationship to be healed. And they want me to be healed. They want me to be a better dad, you know? So it's really a great moment usually. And one thing I don't do is I don't say, I'm sorry. I actually say, will you forgive me? Because the reason I don't say I'm sorry, or if I do say I'm sorry, it's always connected to, will you forgive me? Because when I say I'm sorry, I'm still in control. I'm just simply stating how I feel. I'm in control of my emotions. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. I am sorry. But when I say, will you forgive me? It's like I'm metaphorically taking my heart, placing it in their hands, and I say, you can stomp on it, wring it out, beat it, or kiss it and give it back to me. You know, you are in control. I'm asking you for something I need from you, and that is reconciliation. I need your forgiveness because I want to be reconciled with you.
Amen. Let's talk about confession in light of that in the last few moments we have. How important is confession for Catholic fathers?
Well, as important as oxygen is for our lungs. I mean, I think that if you are not going to confession on a regular basis, what happens is, you know, you hear people talk about, death by 1,000 paper cuts, you know, and paper cuts are like venial sins. They're like the anger, the outbursts, these things that aren't really mortal sins, you know, but yet you get enough paper cuts, you can get an infection, and then you commit the mortal sin. And I think that for me, I just went to confession today. And confession is such an important part of my life because in that confessional, not only do I unload my sins, and I'm bold when I unload my sins, I have to be bold. I have to tell the priest exactly what I've done without making any excuses, without blaming anyone else. This is my fault, and explain to him what I did. But something else happens. Grace fills the, you know, like when a plow is plowing the dirt of the field, it digs a furrow, and that furrow leaves a cavity. And that's what sin does. Sin digs a furrow in our souls. And the devil loves to fill that void with himself. And over time, you become insensitized or desensitized to grace, desensitized to love, desensitized to the call of God in your life. And you think, oh, I'm okay, guy. I'm good enough to get to heaven, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know deep down you're not. And so what happens in the confessional is when you confess your sins, you give God your sins. But what does God do? He fills that furrow with new dirt that's loaded with seeds. And that those seeds are grace that, I guess, grow into great fruit that bears life, bears fruit in our life, fruit that will endure and last. And so for me, the confessional and daily communion, Eucharist, our Lord's body and blood, having Amen. The true man in me, it's so essential.
Amen. That's Devin Schatt from Fathers of St. Joseph. You can find him at fathersofstjoseph.org. That's fathersofstjoseph.org. Saint is spelled stjoseph.org. You can find a link in the podcast notes available later tonight at relevantradio.com/trending. Thank you so much for coming to be with us today, Devin. And our prayers and gratitude for you as a father and for the example you're setting. Let's talk about the March for Life and Walk for Life's occurring over the next weekend. We're marking the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. Perhaps you can't join a march or a walk in person, but there are other ways you can get involved. In solidarity with the March for Life, our annual Fast for Life is coming up this Friday. Tell us how you plan to pray and sacrifice for the unborn at relevantradio.com/fast. This year, Relevant Radio and Solidarity HealthShare are proud to offer our Fast for Life participants a free bonus ebook downloaded, The Choice is Love. It has the answers to questions like, if a woman is pregnant and decides to have an abortion, should that be her right since it is her body? If the fetus is so small that it can't survive apart from the mother, is it really a human being at that point? With hunger and overpopulation in the world, why would the church teach against using birth control? The Choice is Love is a great tool that will help you in responding to several popular arguments with compassion. So join Relevant Radio and Solidarity HealthShare this Friday for #FastForLife at relevantradio.com/fast and claim your free download of The Choice is Love today. That's relevantradio.com/fast. Cindy from Forest Lake, Minnesota, let us know that she's joining the fast with her offering of eating no breakfast, a small lunch, and cleaning the bathroom and dusting the house on Friday. So I hope you too will join us offering what you can and offering a little bit more. I'll be right back here on Trending with Tim Ray. We're going to talk about failure to launch syndrome during our gentleman's hour. And I'd love to hear from you. Did this failure to launch syndrome perhaps impact you in maybe taking a little longer to be independent, detached from dependence on your parents, stand on your own two feet? There's a trend of men blooming a little late in our society. We'll talk about that as well as how abortion impacts men. I'll be right back.
You can listen to more of Trending with Timmery via the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com/trending.
Solidarity HealthShare now offers a new program called Solidarity One. With Solidarity One, members decide what healthcare options best fit their needs and with the flexibility to meet any budget. Learn more at CatholicHealthShare.com.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a gentleman's hour today on Trending. If you have a question, you can reach out to me 1-888-914-9149, or you can comment live now on Instagram. Would love to hear from you. I want to talk in just a moment about failure to launch syndrome. That is where there tends to be this delay in terms of standing on your own two feet, this refusal to become independent or self-sufficient. Many adult parents find their adult children now on their couches in their basements, still totally reliant on them. We talked about this earlier last week, how there's this trend of late blooming for men today, and I want to talk about in relation to failure to launch syndrome. But first, as we approach the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade, I want to touch on how abortion impacts men. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I was participating in a pro-life outreach education program. We were at a mall in Southern California, an outdoor mall with pro-life fetal development signs. And I remember there was this young man standing at a distance, staring at the image of a baby. And he's staring and he's staring. And I could tell that he wanted to say something. And he was standing maybe, 30, 40 feet away. And he was there for a long time. And I just, would smile at him, wave. And finally, he walks up to me and says, "Wow, I've never really thought about this, but I realize it's been suppressed for all this time. My girlfriend had an abortion and it's eaten me up inside, but I've always tried to ignore it, to push it to the side." And he said, "People don't talk about how abortion impacts men too." He said, "As a father, I had no say. I had no right. All I could do was say I'd be there. I'd encourage her. But at the end of the day, she makes the choice completely separate from my consent." And I thought that was a very profound statement for a man to make that is so rarely mentioned today, that abortion does hurt men as well. Often abortion occurs when a man has no idea that he has a child, or where he's silent and allows it to happen, or perhaps even encourages it and regrets it years later. And I think that that silence for so many men is a reminder that there's a wound that needs to be healed. Many people have gone in to work on prison ministry in prisons and the jail systems. And something that's been discovered over the last handful of years is that in the majority of our prisons and jails, most of the men are post-abortive fathers. And they mourn the loss of their children, even if they cooperated in the abortion, even if they found out after the fact. And so if you or someone you know is a man who's participated in the abortion of his child or has lost his child to abortion, I want to encourage this resource, which is available for men and women. That is rachelsvineyard.org, specifically for men. There's a tab for men, rachelsvineyard.org/men. There are healing retreats and resources, because this is at the heart of the crisis of fatherhood in our society. Falling into fatherhood, lost fatherhood, broken familial relationships. And so we need to heal and take back our culture and stop the generational sin and heartbreak that's occurring within our own family. So please check out rachelsvineyard.org/men or rachelsvineyard.org for anyone who may need to heal from abortion. Let's come to this failure to launch syndrome. You're joining me during our gentleman's hour here on Trending, and any question goes surrounding fatherhood, men, you name it, we'd be happy to take it. But last week I talked about this late blooming that tends to occur especially among millennial men today. And I thought about this again when I read an excellent article from the Magis Center by John Clark titled The Reluctance of Males to Become Men. And he talks about what's known as failure to launch syndrome. That is essentially exactly what we discussed last week, late bloomers refusing to become independent or self-sufficient as an adult. Now, when we talk about refusing, it could be through outright refusal. It could be through negligence or laziness. It could be you're spending hours playing video games, or maybe you had a negative experience at some point, and so you're using that as an excuse to not move forward. But what this article dove into, and I think that this is a very profound thing to turn to, is the reality that perhaps this failure to launch syndrome that's not only impacting men, but women as well, I think it is impacting our young men more so, has to do ultimately with this crisis of direction. This crisis of not knowing where they are going. As a society, we've been encouraged time and time again that our life comes to nothing. This attitude of nihilism, where there's a future of non-existence. I even think about this trend toward yoga itself. What's the ultimate end of Buddhism, of yoga? It's nothingness. It has fascinated me that more men are starting to turn to yoga now as well. This idea of nothingness and creating a spirituality around it so that you have something that's semi-purposeful, but at the end of the day, it's purposeless. A comment was made in this article that I think is incredibly telling, mentioning the John Lennon song, Imagine. Think about the words for a moment. It's not talking in a good way about heaven. It says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Perhaps you sang that song and sang that song, and then your kids sang it too. Is there any surprise that now, well, people are imagining and living as if there is no heaven, as if there is no hell, and they're just living for today. Whatever pleases them and they enjoy at the moment. And so this is something that is at the heart of failure to launch syndrome. There's a lack of direction. In the book by Michael Devon, he's a clinical counselor, the book's titled Failure to Launch, he proposes that part of the problem has to do with the way education itself is approached, especially at the university level. He says, imagine putting up with 4 years of classes when you have no end goal, no career chosen, and no foreseeable light at the end of the tunnel. That's a very profound statement to ponder for a moment. So many people start an extremely expensive 4-year college education saying, oh, I think I'll study X, I'll study Y. They usually end up changing their major at some point. They're still not even sure what they actually will do or want to do, or even if what they're studying is something that is practical that will turn into a job one day. Now, if they're smart in the midst of their, quote, I don't know, perhaps they'll at least study some sort of business major that is pretty universally acceptable. However, I think that this is a profound statement. To study and go to classes for 4 years, no end goal, no career chosen apart from the fact that, hey, I'm going to work at the end of this, or hey, I'm going to have a diploma, it does remind us that we are so short-sighted as a culture. And if we continue to live in the midst of short-sightedness, we're going to struggle. We're going to see failure to launch syndrome impacting generations for years to come. It's already eating away at our young men today. It's no surprise that many people right now are saying, I'm not going to go to college, because they've seen before them and after them this crisis of identity, this crisis of what will I do? Many men who are working in the corporate world are suddenly ditching desk jobs and turning to jobs where they can work with their hands. Many young men today are ditching the idea of college and university. They'd rather go learn a trade. They would rather go do some sort of short certification program. They'd rather stick with bartending. They'd rather stick with being a waiter. Why? Because at least they have something now that they're doing that to them is providing an income, that to them gives them a direction of this is what I'm doing now. But I think the whole crisis goes much deeper than this. Coming back to that John Lennon song, Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Well, the crisis of failure to launch syndrome is a crisis of God. It's a crisis of human anthropology that has lost sight that from the beginning, we were created for God, to be with God. And that means that our young men and women today must learn to understand that He created them. He created them with a purpose, and that our big picture end goal is to be with Him. With that trajectory in mind, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Ten Commandments, under the guidance of what is right and what is wrong, that helps to provide a direction as we each individually discern what are the gifts God has given us, what are the responsibilities and duties that He's already placed on our laps. Now, it's interesting because you could argue there are some people today who find themselves single in prolonged years, never marrying, maintaining some sort of job, but they find themselves with aging parents, and so they move in and they care for their parents. That's not this dependence on parents. What it is it's a sense of love and responsibility, understanding the context of their own life, that yes, perhaps they're unmarried, and here I am, my parents need help. And so they're there contributing and caring for their families. Yet so many of these men who find themselves in this circumstance are looking back saying, well, I missed something. I see responsibility here, but I missed the idea of love and responsibility when it came to marriage. Because I was just living for today. I was short-sighted. I was just chasing that diploma or even that next raise without the big picture in mind. That is, that you're created in the image and likeness of God, and you're created to be with Him. So if you experience this failure to launch syndrome, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on social media, relevantradio.com/trending, and share with me perhaps why or why not you experience failure to launch in your own life. Are you ready for another Marriage Hour on Trending? This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. Thursday, we'll talk about the aftermath of abortion for women and how it impacts them and their relationships long term. Back with us at Trending is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restore. We're going to talk about how to share your struggles in marriage and in relationships, even if they have to do with pornography and lusting. So join me Thursday at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.